Special Committee on Budget for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2005. Open a work session on several bills, beginning with House Bill 2101A, relating to Oregon security. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2101 relates to Homeland Security and emergency communications issues. The bill was amended so the new Office of Homeland Security is not established as a separate state agency, and the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, State Fire Marshal, and Criminal Justice Services Division remain part of the state police. An Oregon Homeland Security Council is established to advise the governor on homeland security issues relating to planning, preparedness, response, and recovery. Members of the council include the governor, legislators, key state agency heads, local government officials, and others appointed by the governor. House Bill 2101 addresses the emergency communications issues in two ways. First, the Office of Emergency Management is directed to coordinate the development of a public safety wireless infrastructure replacement plan for state agencies, including the state police, the Department of Corrections, Department of Forestry, and the Oregon Department of Transportation. This plan is to address the consolidation of these agencies' systems and provide for its future management. The office is to report back to the legislature during the interim on its progress and provide a final plan and funding strategies to the 2007 legislature. HB 2101 also establishes a state interoperability executive council who is to develop an Oregon interoperability communications plan. The plan is to provide for both short and longer term strategies in addressing the need for the various public safety agencies and first responders to communicate during national disasters, active terrorism, and other emergencies. A total of $382,000 in existing federal Homeland Security grant funds are designated to hire outside contractors to assist the Office of Emergency Management and others in developing these plans. I recommend House Bill 2101A be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Thank you. Representative Wisnett recommends House Bill 2101 be reported out. Do pass with the 814 amendments. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I applaud the direction this bill is headed. I think it hopefully will be able to accomplish a number of things. My years in the fire service has taught me that we don't speak very well amongst each other in terms of actual communication when it comes to agencies responding to incidents, because we don't operate on the same frequencies. We have a number of issues there that I'm hopeful that this advisory group will be able to address and bring forward a positive, clear direction for the next session, that we can finally get everybody in this state talking together in terms of emergency responders on the same frequencies. And I'm just sorry to note that my bill, which actually funded this entire project and then some at no cost to the taxpayer, didn't move forward. And with that, I'll shut up.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Scott. I want to compliment the committee and the leadership on bringing forward House Bill 2101. In Representative Dallum's district in Wheeler County, there was a tragic incident in which a Wheeler County sheriff's deputy was tragically killed when a head-on accident with a Wheeler County public works truck collided with the vehicle. And because of a lack of communications in terms of emergency response, they weren't able to save this valuable life. And I think this is a step in the right direction to ensure that those type of situations are limited and perhaps even reduced in the future. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Without objection, so ordered. Senate Bill 152A relating to lottery bonds for construction of passenger terminal at North Bend Airport. Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 152 was referred to the House State and Federal Affairs Committee. The measure authorizes the issuance of lottery bonds to provide partial funding to the North Bend Airport District to build a new terminal building with accompanying improvements. Funding for the project would be shared by the state, federal, and local funds through a loan from the Oregon Economic Development Department. The project is critical to economic revitalization in the South Coast region. Improving the aviation facility at North Bend will increase the capability of the airport to meet growing air travel needs and facilitate new growth. The fiscal impact anticipates issuing bonds totaling $10 million plus bond issuance costs. Debt service in the 2005-07 biennium is estimated to be $749,128 on 20-year tax-exempt bonds and $1.2 million in the 2007-09 biennium. Because the first issuance of bonds is not planned until December 2005, and the airport district needs to demonstrate sufficient funding to complete the project, the subcommittee expects the Department of Economic and Community Development to request expenditure limitation from the emergency board when the conditions of the bill have been met. And I move Senate Bill 152 be reported out due pass.
Representative Krupp recommends the bill be reported out due pass. Discussion? Objections? Without objections. Senate Bill 71B, relating to financing for transportation projects. Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 71C, I believe, isn't it, Mr. Chairman? Is our latest iteration? Okay. Senate Bill 71C was referred to the House Special Committee on Budget for the House State and Federal Affairs Committee. The measure authorizes the issuance of lottery bonds to establish a multimodal transportation fund to be used to provide grants and loans for air, marine, and rail transportation projects. Improvements to these infrastructures will keep sectors of the economy linked to distribution points and allow businesses to take advantage of the most efficient and cost-effective system for transporting products. The program will be overseen by the Oregon Transportation Commission, who will work closely with other departments and a variety of advisory boards and individuals in selecting projects for appropriate funding. The measure prohibits funding projects that could be financed by the state highway fund money. The Senate bill was amended by the House State Federal Affairs Committee to eliminate public transit projects from eligibility for funds, make private entities with annual Oregon revenues of greater than $40 million eligible for loans, and specify that the Port of Portland may not finance an intermodal transportation facility on the former Reynolds aluminum property in Troutdale with a provision to sunset in 2014. The fiscal impact anticipates issuing bonds totaling $100 million plus bond issuance costs. Debt service in the 2005-07 biennium is estimated to be $1.9 million on 20-year tax-exempt bonds and $20 million in the 2007-09 biennium. The House General Government Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee amended the bill to add back the eligibility for public transit projects, remove the eligibility cap of $40 million on grants, and that not more than 30% of the net proceeds be allocated to any one region, and change the date of the sunset provision from 2014 to 2012. Because of the bonds are planned to be sold in two stages, with the first bond sale scheduled for May of 2006, and that the agency will need to adopt rules to implement the program, the subcommittee anticipates the department will return to the emergency board to request the necessary expenditure limitation and provide a report on the process of implementing the program. I move Senate Bill 71 be amended and reported out due pass.
Representative Krupp recommends the bill be reported out due pass with the B-20 amendments. Discussion. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Scott. I want to put on the record just how pleased I am with our leadership in taking a good piece of legislation and making it excellent. Senate Bill 71 truly is going to be an economic stimulus for the entire state of Oregon, whether you're in Northeast Oregon or Southwest Oregon or up at the Port of Portland. This is going to be something that we can all benefit from. I also want to put on the record how pleased I am that we were able on the Senate and the House and in the governor's office to reach a compromise that works for all of us. The last thing I need to put on the record is that I do have a potential conflict of interest, as I do work with many, many, many companies who potentially will benefit as a result of Senate Bill 71, as I do work with freight movement companies and companies who move product as a result of the Columbia Snake River barge system. So I put that on the record.
Thank you. Additional discussion, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question of the carrier?
Certainly.
Thank you. On section 7, the prohibition on the port from making capital improvements on the Reynolds property, does that only apply to these dollars that are appropriated, or is that a full ban on them making improvements?
May I?
Certainly.
Sure.
The Port of Portland and the citizens of the community surrounding that area have reached an agreement of 7 years in which development related to a rail intermodal yard will not occur. And so the Port of Portland has agreed to not proceed forward with a rail intermodal yard with these dollars or any other dollars.
Additional questions or comments? Representative Hammond.
Mr. Chair, what did the regions end up being?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, the regions are pretty much the same as the ODOT regions, although they run along county lines, so it's, it keeps the counties whole.
Representative Shoffler.
Mr. Chair, I'll be voting for this, but, you know, we're missing a huge opportunity in Troutdale. We could have made a longer rail siding there that would help free up the traffic on the railroads. Now it's just bottling up. And I think the entire state is going to be put back for us not going forward with that site. And if it's not there, where is it going to be? It's a huge opportunity, and we're doing it for a bunch of nice, beautiful people who already live underneath Portland International Airport, underneath Troutdale Airport. The railroad already goes by there. It's already an industrial zone. This is a huge missed opportunity. But there's a lot of good stuff in here, and I'll be voting for it.
Representative Smith.
Thank you. Just very quickly, for those members who are concerned about this, I would share with you that the Port of Morrow has over 10,000 industrially zoned acres that would be more than willing to accommodate a project of this nature. As a matter of fact, right where the Columbia River, UP, and I-84 come together is where the Port of Morrow is. If you'd like more information, we can send your brochure.
I don't think we're taking new amendments.
As a matter of fact, we do Industrial Development Revenue Bond, Port Revolving Loan Fund, and with a little work from Mike Saltzgiver, we got some other tools we can bring forward.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shoffler, you have additional comment?
Ocean-going rigs up the Port of Morrow.
Oh, no problem. We got to transfer capability at the Port of Portland.
Representative Hanser.
Well, just quick comment. The problem is getting the freight up to Morrow County.
Oh, no problem. We can handle that.
Additional discussion.
No, thank you. Mercifully, just gavel down.
Representative Boone.
Just gavel down.
I'll just add my 2 cents, too, and I'm really happy that we're doing this and was concerned about that same issue. And boy, I think we ought to talk to Representative Smith. But thanks for doing this and moving this forward. It's a huge piece for
objections. Without objections, forward. That concludes. I'll close the work session. That concludes our agenda. Meeting adjourned.
I love this one.